Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. We end today's show at the movies, but we're not headed to the local Megaplex for the latest Hollywood blockbuster. We're heading instead to the Chesapeake Film Festival in Easton, Maryland. It's an event that will bring filmmakers from all over the U.S. to watch and present dozens of films, beginning today and running through Sunday. And for movie buffs from our region, it's a rare opportunity to see independent and lesser-known works on the big screen. Works like the short film Jolene. Jolene is a musical, and it's featuring on Saturday night at the CFF at the Avalon Theater. I sat down with the writer and director of Jolene earlier this week. Her name is Cecily Davis, and she is an Easton local.
It really came from that initial Dolly Parton song and who this woman Jolene is. And then when Ray LaMontagne came out with his version of Jolene, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, this woman all of a sudden is someone more fleshed out. She's more of a real person. Mm-hmm. If you were to equate Ray LaMontagne's Jolene with Dolly Parton's Jolene. So then I started doing some digging about how many other Jolenes there are in this world, and I found 12 altogether, all originals by different artists. Some really famous ones like Bob Dylan, Janis Ian, Cake, and then many, many other obscure ones. So it really became clear to me that this story could be told through all of these covers, and we could really get a completely fleshed out, real person and tell her story.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because you set this, you know, and it's all locally done here in Easton, and it's set kind of in a bunch of dark and gloomy bars, and it moves through this young woman's troubled life. Mm-hmm. And talk about how you picked, I guess, maybe the covers that you chose. You mentioned the Ray LaMontagne cover and, of course, the Dolly Parton cover. Talk about how you use those to tell this story.
I really wanted to use the most famous version, which is Dolly, and that was like the core of who this woman was, and then work backwards from there and try to show a whole life, a person going from being a teenager and, you know, a really troubled childhood into being this fully evolved woman who has taken everything she's learned along the way and is now loaded with this armor of who she is. So within that, I picked songs that told stories, like the Cake version, for example, really very clearly tells a story, as does the Ray LaMontagne version. But also in there, there are more abstract tracks, like the Jeremy Fisher version, for example, is a little more gray or a little more cloudy about who this woman he's singing about is. And I liked that mystery. Mm-hmm. You know, it really makes her a real person. She's, you know, we learn very specific things about her, and then we also learn, you know, the kind of in-between things about her, the things that make her real.
Yeah. I want to take a second here, and I want to set a scene up. You know, there's a scene where she walks into a bar, and the female bartender sets her a beer, and the shot is kind of behind, and it's looking straight on to the actress who plays Jolene. And she slides her a beer, and then all of a sudden it goes into the famous Dolly Parton track. I want to listen to that for a second.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
So describe to me how you set this scene up and what you were trying to take, what story you were trying to tell the audience.
Well, just like how this film was shot in a very small town and we really used our community to our advantage, I wanted to give the feeling in this scene that Jolene had become infamous among the community. Everyone knows who she is. Everyone knows that she's taken Dolly's man, and everyone's pissed about it. Everyone loves Dolly. I mean, who doesn't love Dolly Parton, the actual person? And that's what we wanted to convey through Dolly's character in the film. So the idea was to create this atmosphere inside the bar that all eyes are on Jolene, and it's a hostile environment. And really, one of the, you know, the kind of metaphors we used to convey that was the idea that these people are like birds. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the bar was, we asked them to crane their necks, to look and whisper, and to move their heads in different ways to really give that feeling of birds on a wire watching this this kind of catfight unfold, and everyone's on the edge of their seat to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So how long does it take to create a short musical like this? I mean, and talk about the day that you found out that this was going to feature at the Chesapeake Film Festival.
What happened was is we decided to start the project, and the first part of it was getting the tracks done. We really needed to cast our actors quickly. They had to be able to sing very, very well and tell their story through their song, which was, you know, absolutely important. So the recording session really started it off, and from there, we really started to storyboard the film, flesh everything out, pick our locations, and that whole process took in the neighborhood of 3 months. And during that time, the Chesapeake Film Festival got the word that I was making this film, and that's when they really became interested. Being a small local film festival, they really wanted to give me the support that I needed and kind of give me an end game, mm-hmm. which was great, because there's the best thing for a film is a deadline. Because if you don't have a deadline, it's never going to get done. Yeah. So the Chesapeake Film Festival gave me that, and their one prerequisite was it has to be good. And luckily, everyone who was part of the project wanted it to be good, and it came out, I think, pretty good.
What do you hope that people take when they watch this film? What do you hope that they take with them?
I really wanted Jolene to be an every woman. I think we all, as a woman, I would say that I've gone through periods in my life where I identify myself through the person I'm with, and I feel like that's Jolene's story in a lot of ways. She doesn't really know who she is as a woman and as a person, so she's constantly searching for this man that makes her who she is. And for a lot of women, that's just a small period in our lives, and then we gain confidence and we really know who we are, and we don't need that man anymore. The man becomes our partner in life. Or woman, whatever it is. But Jolene, you know, she takes a little bit longer to get there. She kind of gets there in the end, but, you know, we don't really know whether or not she's going to keep on this path of going through man after man and just never finding the right one or really finding out who she is herself. And I hope that people take away a sense of compassion for people like that in the world, because I feel like maybe it's not just exclusively women that go through a process like that.
We've been speaking with Cecily Davis. She's the writer and director of Jolene, a film that will be featuring this weekend at the Chesapeake Film Festival here in Easton, Maryland. Cece, thanks so much for sitting down with me, and best of luck.
Thanks, Brian.
Still don't know what love means. Jolene. La 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 la, Jolene.
Jolene is one of the many films that will feature this weekend throughout Easton. I've always wondered how these films are chosen by the various indie festivals across the country. I sat down with Rhonda Thompson, who is the festival director and this year's programming director at the CFF. She took me through the process and told me about some of the other films people can see this weekend.
We start off by going to Sundance, and we see as many films as we can there, and come back from that and start to look at other festival programs online, scour the internet for, you know, just interesting things. People are always forwarding me things like, this looks interesting. What has happened since over the past few years is filmmakers who have been to our festival really like our festival and will tell their friends, hey, why don't you should send this to the Chesapeake Film Festival. It's a perfect fit for them. Mm-hmm. I found a couple films on Kickstarter this year, which is kind of exciting. Sure. And so that's the general process of getting, we'll contact the filmmaker or the distributor and say, hey, can you send us a screener with things that have been sent to us? We take a quick look at those and decide if it's worth the whole committee seeing them.
Sure. I know with film festivals like this that, you know, even though it's a general film festival, you still kind of have some sort of a main message that you're trying to get across. And I know that that way is oftentimes in choosing an opening film and a closing film. This year, the opener is a film called The Playroom, which featured at Tribeca, and the closer is called Love. Let's start with the opener, The Playroom.
Once upon a time, in a country far away, there were four children who ran away from home.
Without their parents?
They didn't have any parents. Their parents were dead. They died in a plane crash.
How horrible.
That's what happened.
Explain to me what's going on here and tell me about this film.
It takes place in 1970s suburbia, but it's sort of a dysfunctional family imploding. And the acting in it is incredible. The story, the words and what the way it all happens is really well done. There are four children in it. Amazing acting from the children. So I think for a lot of people, like my generation and maybe a little bit older, they remember that period of time. Mm-hmm. And so what we really liked about this piece was the acting, the general story, and the fact that although it is a serious film, it does have light moments, and it's just so well done. It's hard to find a flaw in it.
Right. And tell me about the closer, Love, which is L-U-V. Tell me about that filmmaker and that story.
Love is written and directed by Sheldon Candis. He is born and raised in Baltimore. He lives in L.A. now. But and he wanted to film the film in Baltimore. So it's very kind of local mm-hmm. for us. And it's basically an inner city coming of age story. Another film that has a great child actor in it. Another thing we really liked about this film is that pretty much the entire cast is African American. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see a serious, well-done film with African American cast, you know, that it's an important piece, and that's great.
Yeah, let's listen to a clip from Love.
I believe there's two kinds of people in this world. Owners and renters. I want to own something.
And why is it that you want to own the Maryland Cup factory building? I mean, that place is barely standing.
It's location. Location, Mr. Barnes. There's no place along the harbor where people can go for big crabs and live music. We're going to restore the feeling of Pennsylvania Avenue back in the 50s. Like the way our parents used to do it. I get the best crabs for the cheapest price.
How so?
It's all in the plan.
So my take is when looking at, you know, the themes in the opening and the closing films in this festival, that, you know, perhaps what you guys are going for is those stories of the human condition and the human experience.
Well, certainly that is a lot of it. When people come to the festival, no matter what film they see, we hope that they go away with perhaps a new perspective. That is really what we shoot for. We try to bring the best films that we can to the Eastern Shore. And, you know, that means comedies, dramas, documentaries, shorts, a little bit of everything if we can.
That was Rhonda Thompson, the festival and the programming director of the Chesapeake Film Festival. Lastly, I met with Liza Ledford. She's the executive director of the CFF. She says the growth of the festival has been beneficial to not just filmmakers and film buffs, but to the local economy of Easton as well.
Well, it was really important to us that the community realized that it was coming and what it could do and what it was about and really started to participate with it. And year after year, it has gotten better, where people from out of town would come and enjoy the restaurants and stay in the hotels and do some tourism while they were here. And even the Maryland State Film Office helped us with that, where if they have something filming, we get them down here and they show off our area. And it's just been hard because it started when we were sort of a young group of kids who'd been to a lot of festivals, and we'd come and grown up from this town, like Doug Sadler and I and a couple others had all gone to festivals and really knew this was a great environment with people who loved art and storytelling, and all of that combined is what a film festival is. So being in a room, they all got together really, and I've always been on the board, but it was a group of other people that really put this brain trust together and did the first one. And it's gotten easier year after year because filmmakers themselves have started remembering and wanting and mm-hmm. talking amongst themselves to come.
You know, I found it very notable in reading up on you guys that realizing and finding out that I think even you guys were a bit surprised when you would go to Sundance or Tribeca, you know, these top-notch, you know, well world-renowned film festivals for indie movies, that people know about the Chesapeake Film Festival. Is that uncommon for a film festival, you know, that is only, you know, going into its fifth year to already be kind of the talk of a you know, national event such as Sundance?
I think some of the other festivals that have just started out really tried to focus on their local region in terms of content. And so it took them longer to get a national reputation. We started out with getting national, you know, content. And I think that made it easier for us to get a reputation out there that we sort of almost had to build and work harder to build locally, mm-hmm. that recognition here that it was that much of a big deal.
Big festivals like Tribeca and Sundance are their own animal, but certainly some of the allure and the draw of coming to a smaller film festival in a place like Easton is that you can be up close and personal with some of the filmmakers and the actors and things like that. Talk about that experience for spectators and people who are just coming to see these films and how close they can be rubbing elbows with the filmmakers.
Yeah, that is one thing that even some of the filmmakers that have been here have said, don't get too big. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. This is the perfect mix where you really can be sitting right next to somebody for a whole 3 days. You can participate in all the different events where all those filmmakers are and just be having dinner with them and speaking with them, asking them every question, what you've ever been curious about. And in the other big festivals, you don't get that close. You get that 5-minute Q&A, but you don't get sitting next to them in the theater watching a different movie with them. You don't get dinners with them. You don't get the coffee chats. And that is really special to this place. And the quality of who we get is what's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's not just an up-and-comer that's going to be 10 years down the road you'll see or hear about them. Last year, for instance, we had the Freedom Writers writer-director, and the very next season, she's up there at the Emmys winning the award for Best Director for the Freedom Writers and on the Oprah Show and just everywhere. So you were just like, I just had crabs with her last CFF, you know? That's what we like to offer.
Yeah. Well, you know, one other thing that I found to be very interesting is that this year, for the first time, there are actually some execs coming. I read that the National Geographic executives as well as the Discovery Channel are coming here to, you know, speak with not only and scout out the filmmakers, but and certainly view the films, but be a part of the festival as a whole. Talk about what people can expect from those two entities being here.
Yeah, I think that's a really special added value to the weekend is often you get to see these projects at their finished point and you meet filmmakers after they're done their journey. And here we are bringing in some of the executives that are the part of the earliest part of your journey. And so if you had an idea, what is that? What is the business? How do you get your stories on television? How do you get your documentaries made? And these are the buyers. They know what parameters they're working in, what constraints the business puts on them right now. What are the trends? What are they told? They have to go find the next what big thing. Now we get to sit there and access them and ask them that, and then it helps us have a more direct opportunity to, you know, really find out what we would need to do if we wanted to be the next show on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I know you've been in the film business for a long time, both here on the shore and, you know, on the left coast as well in Los Angeles. Everybody likes going to the movies. Everybody has had some sort of experience with a film moving them. Why does film continue to be important in the narrative of what's happening in our world and what's happening in people's personal lives?
This day and age has gotten so cluttered with YouTube and your smartphones and just this constant bombarding of issues and thinking. And it's great because there's so much going on. People want to talk. But festivals and films in particular are a really good way to unify all of that, to sort of cut through the noise and have a specific topic that becomes a vehicle for us to talk about that issue. And it doesn't get lost in just the mayhem of dialogue out there.
We've been speaking with Liza Ledford. She's the executive director of the Chesapeake Film Festival. Liza, so nice to talk to you, and best of luck with this weekend.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the time.
To learn more about the Chesapeake Film Festival or a listing of the shows and the venues where you can see these amazing films, click to our website, wamucoast.org. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.